Welcome everyone, and as usual, talk a little bit about meditation and the cultivation of mind first of all, and then we'll get into the actual practice afterwards. A lot of the things that you find in the suttas, in the word of the Buddha, a large part of it, which I find very interesting, is about what they call the development of perceptions. And perceptions are like ways of looking at life and looking at the world, having an idea about how to look at it in the right way. The right way, of course, is the way of the Buddha, the way of seeing the world, kind of aligning your vision of things, your perception of things, with the way the Buddha saw things. And that is what we call right view. When you see the world according to the Buddha, it's called right view, looking at the world in a certain way. There are many different ways you can think about the idea of right view, but one of the kind of, to me, fundamental aspects of right view is the idea of understanding the difference between happiness and suffering. Where is happiness to be found? Where is suffering to be found? And this is kind of the right outlook. So if you see things in accordance with the way the Buddha saw things, you know where to look for happiness, you know where not to look for it, you know where it can possibly be found and where it can't be found. And this is part of this idea of developing perceptions. Of course, the big kind of dichotomy here, the two sides of this, is on the one side is what you call the worldly happiness and suffering, or the worldly side of things, and then you have the spiritual side of things. And in general, you can take it that the worldly side of things leads to problems down the track, or it doesn't go anywhere, it just goes round and round, doesn't really have any solution, doesn't really have any future. Whereas the spiritual side of things, that is where there is some kind of hope for, you know, improvement, for real happiness, for real contentment, for something to actually work on this path. So this is kind of the main distinction. And I was talking a bit about this distinction in a sense yesterday at the Dhamma talk here, the idea that the worldly happiness, it really, you know, it seems nice, but actually it also has unfortunate consequences. But the biggest problem is that it doesn't go anywhere. You just go round and round, encountering the same kind of problems, seeking for the same kind of happiness, not really achieving anything. You may have noticed that often in spiritual circles, there is often an abundance of people above a certain age. And there's not so many young people, because you haven't really got this point yet, that things kind of go round and round, you don't actually get anywhere. But those young people who do get it, that's marvelous, because you understand from very early on that actually there is a problem here to be resolved. So you see the world in this way, it is not really, there is no future there, there's nowhere to go, it doesn't deliver anything here, it's just more of the same, and because of that, it's not very interesting here. And if it isn't interesting, then in your meditation, you're not going to think about it. So you want to kind of approach that Buddha mind. The Buddha mind is the one that becomes peaceful very easily. Someone who really knows how to meditate right, they become peaceful fast. They don't proliferate. They don't think about the world, because the world is not interesting. The reason we think about it is because we think it's interesting. So by changing your perception, by understanding the limits of the world, actually you have much less interest in that world. So these are the kind of things that are really worthwhile reflecting on sometimes, understanding where happiness is to be found, on the spiritual path. So what do we mean by that? Well, what we mean is, first of all, coming from the way it is taught by the Buddha or by someone like Ajahn Brahm about meditation practice, or about any kind of spiritual practice, how it leads to a degree of satisfaction, contentment, peace, compassion, wisdom, understanding, all of these wonderful things emerge out of the spiritual path. It's kind of incredibly potent with all of these wonderful qualities of the mind. And this, you can hear that by sort of the degree of faith and confidence there in the word of the Buddha or the word of, you know, a meditation master. You also use your own experience to some extent. The times in life when you really have succeeded a little bit in your meditation practice, when you have felt exceptionally peaceful, you had a sense of joy, you thought, wow, I'm so fortunate to be part of the BSWI or whatever, whatever joy it is that arises. And this is, when that happens, that knowledge, that direct understanding that you have, that of course is even more powerful. So you combine this idea of what the Buddha says about the spiritual path with your own insight, your own understanding, the experiences you have had, sometimes you reflect on those, you bring them back, you think, yeah, this is it, yeah, this is actually really where it is. And you remember the problems that the sensory world or the worldly things have given you over time, and you start to get the balance right. You start to see, perceive things in the way the Buddha perceived things. You start to see the world correctly, with the right view, where happiness is to be found, and where it cannot ever really be found. And then your mind inclines towards the happiness, because the mind always wants happiness. It inclines away from the suffering. You stop thinking so much, and the mind, kind of like a kind of well-trained dog, just goes to peace, goes to stillness, and then you really enjoy yourself in your meditation. Okay, bit of theory for you. Let's see what happens in practice. Okay, everyone. So, as always, as I mentioned yesterday, just start out with a nice standard way of practicing, where you kind of go through a regular procedure, at least in the beginning of your meditation, so that you kind of come into a comfort zone, so to speak. So just start out again by making sure the body is at ease and relaxed, and that you kind of find that ease in the body, then you know the mind is also leaning towards ease, because ease in the body, ease in the mind are often two sides of the same coin. And again, as always, there's no urgency with going to the meditation object. Just wait, allow things to calm down. And this happens automatically if you are just patient and just go with the flow. Allow things to be, don't interfere in the process. And as you do that, you will experience gradually the mind kind of fading away, the thinking fading away, and mindfulness becoming established in its place. And when you are ready to meditate, when you're ready to follow the breath, the mind will know by itself, because the breath is just there and meditation happens. And as you start to settle down, and maybe you find the mind has a bit too much restless energy, too much thinking going on, and very gently just try to remind yourself where the real happiness is to be found. Remember, the world just carries on and on and on, and there's no real solution there. The spiritual path, which always happens in the present moment, right here and right now, this is where the solutions are to be found. So enjoy just the present moment. Enjoy the beauty of just sitting here, right here and now, and develop this path to the best of your ability. Okay, so again, coming close to the end of the meditation, and before we come to the very end, just again take a moment or two just to reflect on what has happened. And if you do see an improvement in your mind state, ask yourself why that is the case. If there has been no improvement, again, ask yourself why that might be the case. Okay, everyone, so are there any questions for today or comments or anything? Yeah. So a couple of questions from outside of the center. The first one is, how do you define meditation? How do you find joy and stillness if you can't feel it? Or how do you strengthen it once you feel it? What if I feel numb? So defining meditation, what it really is and how it is often talked about in the suttas, is talked about bhavana. And bhavana really means like development or cultivation. So it is the cultivation of the mind is really what meditation is about. And the idea then is to move towards a higher, more positive, more satisfying state of mind. That's really what it is about. And there's a number of things that characterize meditation when you get it right. One of them is that you feel gradually more peaceful, you calm down. This is one of the things that characterizes meditation that works. Another one is joy in the mind. Yeah, the joy kind of gradually builds up. It's not the character of meditation. Another one is mindfulness becomes more sharp. You already have to have mindfulness when you start out, but it sharpens as you go along. Another one is energy of the mind. Yeah, you energize the mind as you practice, comes with the joy. So all of these things are characteristics of meditation once it works in the right way here. If you can't feel stillness and joy, it just means that, you know, it's not uncommon at all. But, you know, you have to start somewhere. So it takes a time to kind of develop these things. And if you can't feel it, you just have to kind of either carry on or kind of, you know, can drop meditation for a while and come back to it. If you don't find any happiness in it, then sometimes not much point in doing it. Yeah, and then just come back maybe in a few months' time and try it again and see if it works then. In the meantime, you carry on practicing the other factors of the path, which then supports the meditation in the long run. Yeah, so this is how kind of you get the thing going here. If you can't feel joy, it's because you need more qualities that actually give rise to joy, such as living better, living with precepts, living with kindness, having a greater understanding of what the Buddha's teachings are about, etc. And gradually these things kind of come together. And this is how you strengthen it. Yeah, you just live well, really. What if I feel numb? Well, if you feel numb, then is it a good or bad numbness, I suppose? If it is a bad numbness, then don't pursue it. If you feel really kind of tired and lethargic, or you can't feel anything, the mind kind of goes into a confused state of mind or something like that, then it is not really worthwhile because it doesn't actually build up those qualities we're trying to build up. So then kind of just, you know, stop for a while and then come back to it later on again when you kind of want to try again. But don't give up too easily. One of the things to do is also to lower the bar. Do short meditations rather than long ones. Some people do at least 5 minutes, see what happens. And if you enjoy 5 minutes just relaxing, great. 10 minutes, wonderful. 15, marvelous. But in daily life, that may be enough, because it can be hard to sustain this in daily life. So see what happens. Dear Ajahn, is meditation in public probably a bad idea? I don't really have anywhere to go during my break from work, so I sit in my car where people can see me potentially. Thank you. It depends on your character, right? If you tend to be a bit self-conscious or whatever, then sitting in public may be a bad idea, because then you can't, if you're self-conscious, it doesn't really work, the meditation, because you are kind of, your attention is turned in the wrong way. You need to be, the mind needs to be really relaxed and free. But otherwise, if you don't feel self-conscious, it doesn't matter if other people see you. Is there someone relaxing in the car? They probably don't even know that you're meditating. If it works for you, great. You found your little space there at work. That's wonderful. So carry on. As long as it works, you're fine. Dear Ajahn, can you explain a bit more about what does it mean when the Buddha said there will be no doubt when you are in the stream entry? So it means that no doubt when you become a stream enter, it just means that you have seen the Dhamma, you have seen the teachings of the Buddha, you have the same insight as the Buddha had, and so you don't have any doubt about the teachings anymore. Also, you have no doubt about what are good qualities in your mind. You're able to see where your mind is at, what are the good and bad qualities, and then for that reason, you're able to negotiate those bad qualities and go beyond them. So you don't have any doubt about the teachings, you don't have any doubt about what are wholesome qualities and unwholesome qualities. Then we have from Tim from Indonesia, when meditation is very hard and full of hindrances in the mind, is it because of past karma? If so, what should one do to keep on this path? What effort can we do? This is a very common question people ask. Is it because of past karma? It doesn't matter why it is. Why is not really a useful question to ask. All we know is that there are hindrances there. And regardless of whether it's from past karma or it is from bad habits in this life or it is just whatever, the solution is always the same anyway. And that is to kind of overcome these hindrances. If there's too many problems in meditation, it may be that you haven't practiced, again, the other factors of the path enough. Practice more kindness in your life, be more generous, learn to be more understanding of the people around you, have more compassion for the world. There's plenty of suffering for the world to be compassionate about. And as you do that, your mind will become gradually purified, and it will enable meditation to happen as a consequence. It's impossible to overestimate the importance of kindness and sila and morality on the Buddhist path for meditation to work. This is what gives you access to peace, gives you access to joy, gives you access to all these positive things. All right, everyone, that is it for today. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.